Welcome back to Vermont Viewpoint. I'm Rick Sengary. The imponderable question for an organization that relies on volunteers is, what would we do without them? Volunteers show up. They do. They help. And it's all because they believe in an organization's mission. Wow, that's really amazing when you think about it. What an incredible concept. Think of the first person in history who just walked into a place and said, I'm just here to help. It's National Volunteers Week, so it's a good time to celebrate them and to learn about volunteer opportunities. To do so, I've turned to Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice, CVHHH, to find out what their volunteers do and what their volunteer needs are. With me for this half hour is hospice volunteer Suzanne Richmond. Good morning, Susan. Suzanne, sorry.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very good. Happy snowy day.
Yeah, happy snowy day. Nicole DuPont is next. She oversees hospice volunteer training and coordination. Welcome to you, Nicole.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. And CVHHH Chief Marketing and Communications Officer Emily McKenna is with us. Welcome back to Vermont Viewpoint, Emily.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Listeners, to speak with our guests or to share your own volunteer experiences, you can give us a call at 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. You can email vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com. Emily, how are volunteers used at CVHHH?
We have a lot of uses for volunteers, and they support us operationally and kind of across all of our programs. At the very top, I would say, our organization is governed by a volunteer board of directors, and we also have many members of the community who support board committees, our fundraising committee, our personnel committee, who aren't board members but who give their time and really give us their experience and knowledge to help make key decisions. In the office, we have many volunteers who support us. We have a group who comes into our medical records department, and they will put together patient materials, welcome and admissions booklets, things like that. They also make phone calls to patients. They help our chief quality officer make phone calls and check-in calls to patients. We also have a number of volunteers who help us at fundraising events, to plan the events and then also to execute them. We have three main events a year, our Chez Henri Cup, our Hospice Memorial Golf Tournament, and our Seasons of Life fundraiser. And those three events are planned in large part by volunteer planning committees, and then on the day of the event kind of executed. And lastly, we do rely on the support of volunteers for town funding. There is a town funding committee, and in normal years, you know, we're usually asking for signatures to get onto town's ballots. And so we use volunteers to help us go out and solicit signatures, and also just to kind of talk about the agency and to say, you know, this is a really good cause to support.
Mm-hmm. Approximately how many volunteers do you think that you do have at CVHHH that help you?
I would say when we're not living through a pandemic,
right.
We rely on anywhere from 100 to 130 volunteers across all of our programs. And, of course, I should add, Nicole and Suzanne will be able to talk about the many wonderful hospice volunteers.
Yep.
In 2019, we had about 130 volunteers, and half of those were hospice volunteers. I will say in 2020, we still had about 55 people helping us. Mm. Most of them were hospice volunteers, but we also had a few admin volunteers before the pandemic really hit. So a lot of people give their time and their energy, and we were so appreciative for their support.
Nicole, what do hospice volunteers do for patients at CVHHH?
Yes. So mainly our hospice volunteers provide respite for family members and companionship to patients. You know, a lot of the time families take home their loved one to pass away, and it's a massive responsibility. And that's really where volunteers come in. Volunteers can sit for up to 3 hours per visit, and this really allows the caretaker time to sleep, you know, run errands, and really take care of themselves so they can take care of patients. We also have hospice volunteers that sit vigil for patients. You know, the philosophy is that nobody dies alone. So we have a great team of wonderful volunteers ready to be deployed in the case that somebody is alone. And they will sit with them through the night, hours of the day, be that calming presence, really a hand to hold, and, you know, the link that keeps our hospice team together. So I'm very thankful for all our volunteers.
No, I bet. Can you give a brief overview of Medicare conditions of participation and 5% rule for volunteers?
Yes. So Medicare states that hospice volunteers must provide day-to-day administrative and or direct patient care services that at a minimum equals 5% of the total care of patient hours. For example, if our LNAs, RN, social work, therapy provides 5,000 hours in a month, volunteers must provide at least 250 of those hours.
Wow.
So that really ensures that our hospice volunteers remain the heart of our hospice program.
And how did COVID affect the roles, the volunteers with CVHHH?
Yeah, so like any other program, we were affected. In the beginning of the pandemic, we had to put volunteers completely on hold. And then probably in June, we started redeploying volunteers on a very limited basis. And in October, during the surge, we had to put them back on hold. It's cut our numbers drastically down from what we had, as Emily mentioned. But we do have a great group core of volunteers that have continued to provide patient companionship and respite through the pandemic. So I'm thankful for that.
Mm-hmm. Suzanne, I mentioned, is a hospice volunteer. Suzanne, what drew you to hospice volunteering?
I had my eyes open to the extraordinary service model of hospice in, I think it was 2015. And at that time, my 94-year-old father was suffering immensely from this untreatable pain condition, and he was too fragile to travel to his doctors. He did not want to be in a hospital. So I'd heard about hospice as a holistic model, but I didn't know what it was. And I found out quickly when we brought hospice into the home for my father, and the bedside care that I witnessed was so extraordinary. And each hospice worker, including volunteers, embodied this this love and presence and incredible skill, which each and every one of them showed me the way. And they accompanied myself, my mother, and my father through the approach of death and my father's death. And they showed no fear in showing up. And so, putting it simply, I wanted to join the team. I wanted to participate in this kind of humane healthcare model of service. And learning to be a volunteer was my way to do that.
And Suzanne, what do you do as a hospice volunteer?
I show up. I participated in a vigil with a beloved patient as she was close to death. Mm-hmm. And sat with her and read from the Bible for her, as she was a Catholic, and held her hand, as Nicole said. And I also showed up for another family, in particular listening to the son of a patient in hospice. And as she was dying, I was a support person for him, listening. And after she died, I did a lot of listening to his early grief process. So he was so well held by all of the hospice staff and volunteers throughout the whole process. And it was such an honor to do that.
We're celebrating volunteers this morning with the folks from CVHHH. Listeners, to join the conversation, you can call us at 244-1777. Toll free, it's 877-291-8255. And our email address is vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com. We're back on Vermont Viewpoint. It's National Volunteers Week, and we're celebrating it locally with an organization that has some wonderful volunteers and volunteer opportunities. That's Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice. Listeners, to speak with our guests or tell us about a rewarding volunteer experience you've had, you can give us a call at 244-1777. 877-291-8255 is our toll-free number. And we've got Michelle joining us from Plainfield. Hi, Michelle. Go right ahead.
Hi. So I wanted to say two things. I taught for many years at Goddard College in the graduate program in counseling, and I often had students who chose to do hospice work as their internship. Mm-hmm. And anyone who chooses that work just loves it.
Yeah.
And I was always, it's not something I would ever imagine choosing to do. And I was mm-hmm. just so touched and impressed by how they felt that, you know, they were at these such an important point in the person's life, which they were,
mm-hmm.
and just what love they brought to that. And I assume all the volunteers and staff. And then the other thing I wanted to say was that I also had a very dear friend who died over 18 months. And he had plenty of people to sit with him and talk with him, but the professional staff of hospice were so helpful and so wonderful. So I just can't say enough good, and I always give money. I just wanted to add that.
Thank you, Michelle. Reminded me that years ago I lived with a dear friend who was a hospice nurse, and she just came home every day, and it was difficult, but she was so happy for the opportunity of what she was doing. So I do want to talk to both Nicole and Suzanne about this. I don't want to be maudlin, but you're working in hospice. You will lose patients. It's the nature of hospice. So I'll start with you, Nicole. How do you deal with it? How do you train your volunteers to be able to deal with it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we bring in different disciplines from our team to really prepare them, to teach them about the dying process, what to look for, what to expect, you know, the things to report back to the team that they may see. But then we also bring in the chaplain and bereavement and talk to them, you know, about spirituality, and really prepare them. And we also open up, our bereavement services to volunteers, as it is a loss. It is a grief that they experience, especially if they've sat with patients for a period of time, even a couple of hours. So we really support them, through our team, the best that we can.
And Suzanne, I know you bring the family great comfort, great strength, but how do you deal with losing someone who you've sat with, you've gotten close to, you've gotten to know?
Well, you know, we have a culture that doesn't look at death as something we welcome, but it's embedded in the organic process of life. And so I think the training I received reflects the normalization of death, and the medical world is taught to do everything possible to prevent it, but I think the hospice world does everything possible to accompany it. And as Nicole said, we're grounded as volunteers in learning about the culture and the journey towards death and the processes and the unique processes everybody has, including ourselves, around grief. And that's all anchored in a deeply humane, open-hearted care model. So how do I deal with it? I have Nicole and anybody else at hospice and others in my community to reflect with.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have gratitude for the opportunity to share in such an intimate experience with patients and their families.
Mm. Nicole, what do you hope volunteers take away from the training that you give them to feel prepared to support patients and their families?
Yes, absolutely. So I hope that they take away that we're all human, and that we should be there to support one another and love each other, and you know, to really take care of yourself. You know, self-care is very important in terms of caring for other people. And, you know, we encourage people, if you're feeling off, if you're feeling sick, if you're feeling anything, maybe don't go that day. Ask for somebody else to step in. You know, just we want our patients to get the best care possible, and through the training we try to teach that.
Emily McKenna, what kind of needs do you have right now for volunteers at CVHHH?
I want Nicole, in part of my answer, I want to punt the question to Nicole because sure. I want her to talk about the next volunteer training. But
oh, good.
I will add, we are always looking for individuals to support us at our fundraising events. And so we have a, you know, on our website at cvhhh.org, we have a full list of opportunities. We've got many fundraising opportunities and events coming up this year and then going into next year. So making that connection is really important. And once things, again, I think settle down with the pandemic, we will always value the support of our medical records volunteers. We have just such a long history of having people coming into our medical records team and department, and they really become like part of our staff, as if they're employees. They it's always so nice to go down to the med records department and say hi, and you just really get to know these people. So eventually we'll be welcoming folks back into the office for that purpose as well.
And you were punting to Nicole.
Yeah, just to talk about, Nicole, what the next hospice volunteer training,
yes.
Just to get people interested in that.
Yeah, so our next training begins July 22nd, and it will run for 6 weeks. So that's once a week in the afternoon from 1 to 4. We're currently in the midst of a training, but our training really combines factual things about the hospice team, textbook, personal professional experience, and it really ties into hospice volunteering. So we bring in members of the team, and we try to ensure that volunteers are leaving feeling well supported and able to care for hospice patients in the community and provide them with companionship.
Suzanne, you went through that training. How was that for you?
It was really inspirational. Thank you, Nicole, and thank you, the whole team at Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice, because the people Nicole brought in for us to learn from were people who were at the bedside, and they shared stories, and story is such a powerful way to learn how to step into families and healthcare settings where there are enrolled members in hospice, and hearing those stories plus the nitty-gritty of learning about, as Nicole said, the approach towards death, what the body looks like, how to support family, how to be present, all of that combined into an astonishing amount of learning in a short amount of time that grounded all of us in the intimate training with, I think, a kind of confidence that let me step into my first volunteer stint.
Suzanne,
grateful.
Yeah, and Suzanne, this is not for everyone. Are there specific skills that you came with that you can see now being a hospice volunteer that really have served you well in that and would, you know, if someone was thinking about this, they hear, oh, yes, that's me. You know, what skill set, what things do you have that really made this a great opportunity for you?
That's a great question. As I said earlier, I witnessed hospice at work with my father and also my mother, and I gained skills not knowing it by being part of the team and care providing and for my folks. So I brought with me the humble, difficult, and beautiful experience of having witnessed the end-of-life care for my folks. And I think coming to hospice, as you say, Rick, it's a calling. Mm. And it makes for a pretty special batch of people, whether it's 65 to 130 volunteers at hospice here in Central Vermont or elsewhere. I think everybody who's either on paid staff or a volunteer at hospice are people who feel resonance for this kind of deep service work. And I think that's the most satisfying kind of work people can do.
And Emily McKenna, what is the process for someone who is interested in applying and becoming a volunteer for CVHHH?
We have, I would say, the first step would be going to our website, again, www.cvhhh.org, and under the volunteer section, you can read a description of the different ways that we use volunteers. And there are forms that you can fill out on the website to make a connection with the person at CVHHH who's responsible for whatever area you're interested in supporting, hospice, events, fundraising, or in the office. And, you know, we don't, there's not always an immediate need, but we have a list, and we will keep that list and give people a call when we are ready to bring them in. And again, I do think that will pick up significantly once we get sort of more to the other side of this pandemic. And you know, that's coming.
Absolutely. Suzanne Richmond is a hospice volunteer at CVHHH. Nicole DuPont oversees hospice volunteer training and coordination at CVHHH. And Emily McKenna is their chief marketing and communications officer. I want to thank you all for being on the show this morning and sharing your perspectives on volunteering there.
Our pleasure.
Thank you, Rick.
All right, and thanks for what you're doing. That is our show for today. Vermont Viewpoint is produced by Shayla Connor Shapiro and directed by Danny McGivergan. Our email address is vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com. Please feel free to suggest topics or guests, and you can listen to past episodes of Vermont Viewpoint by downloading our podcast at WDEVradio.com. We've got Common Sense Radio with Bill Sayre up next. We've got 3 hours of The Getaway today starting at 1 o'clock. That's 1 to 4. And we've got Red Sox baseball tonight. That'll start 6:10 coverage, first pitch 7:10. They got the Mariners at home starting a 4-game home series from Fenway. I'm Rick Singeri. I'll meet you back here tomorrow.
Is WDEV, Vermont's news station, owned and operated by the Radio Vermont Group. From the top of Sugarbush, 96.1 FM, WDEV, Warren and Waitsfield, 96.5 W243 Barrie, 98.3 W252 CU Montpelier, along with our founding station, AM 550 WDEV Waterbury Montpelier. Streaming at WDEVradio.com. 89.